Amen.
You have 45 minutes, please.
Hallelujah. Jesus, you are so good. Jesus, you are so good. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me.
To you alone be all the glory. We thank you for the privilege of life, the privilege of service, the privilege to be a blessing. All the glory, all the accolades, all the applause, all the praise goes back to you. Thank you for life. Thank you for healing. Thank you for your favor. We return all glory to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a big, big hand? We may please be seated. Sweethearts, thanks for the privilege. You know, there are some programs that you don't have to, because I'm his wife, there are some programs that you want to run and you just, you know, I don't want to preach, I just want to be behind the scenes. But there are some, you just know. Whether you beg or not, you will preach. So in the course of, I think, 2 weeks or before now, maybe about 3 weeks ago, he didn't say anything. He didn't say whether I was going to preach or not. And I was just looking at him, you know, in the house, walking past him, expecting that he would say, okay, you're going to preach. He didn't say anything. I was like, hey, okay, so I'm free. The next thing, he just gave me a schedule. I saw my name twice. And I knew that I couldn't escape. You know, the privilege to serve with him has been the greatest honor of my life. Right from university, I told God I never wanted to marry a pastor, but I wanted to marry someone that was working in church. And God said, I'll set you up. And I ended up marrying him. And it's been a joy. It's been an honor. Thank you, sweetheart, for the privilege. Thank you for grooming me. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for helping me to be the woman that I am today. Job 14 and verse 7, and I'm trusting that in this session, the few minutes we have, God will speak to you. It's a simple message, something that you may have heard. In fact, a lot of the things that we've been hearing in this session, in the course of Recharge, have been very similar. Simple, similar, repeated, you know, truths. And the truth of the matter is sometimes it's not the big things. Maybe a device, your car may be at a ground, you know, standstill, and it's not moving. And the only thing needed is to put life in the battery. Or your device, your smartphone, your Android phone, expensive phone, maybe off and not working, or not working to the optimum. And you're wondering that this device is expensive. It shouldn't stop. And the only key is not prayer and fasting. It's just to charge your phone. Simple. So there are certain things that come at us, simple truths, repeated truths. It's just like coming into a dark room. A room that is very dark. when you enter the room, no matter how intense that darkness, what do? You look for the switch and you switch on. Simple device, simple button. You come the next day, the room is dark. You don't say that, I put on the switch yesterday. There must be something else. You still go back and you put on the switch. So repetition is powerful. Praise the Lord. Job 14 verse 7 says, "For there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud, it will sprout, it will thrive, and bring forth branches like a plant." I don't know who you are watching or listening, wherever you're watching from the world, around the world. For us, like Pastor said, my husband said, the second half is always a new start, a new season. And maybe you started this year, and that's the reason for recharge, really, because you don't need to be recharged if you've not exerted yourself, if you've not put in energy, if you've not done some work. The reason why the phone needs to be recharged or charged is because he has done some work. And some people here, sitting, listening, you have exerted, you have put in energy, you have invested, maybe since last year, and you're at a point where you're tired, you're exhausted, you don't know the way out, you're not at your optimum. You know that there's a particular... in the phone device where that's called low power mode, right? Low power mode. It gets there when the battery is low. But the phone is not at it. It can do certain things, but not everything. But when you want to start again, when you want to get to a point where life comes, where you are doing things like you used to do, or even better than you used to do, you need something to be added. And I pray that this season, in this season of recharge, this second half, that life, that needed water will get to you in Jesus' name. So the topic I gave this session or this preaching or this message is, you are not stranded. Tell your neighbor you are not stranded. You have all you need. And I'm going to start from Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 and verses 1. Before I start reading, just to give us a background, the preceding chapter, from the very first verse, chapter 3, verse 1, was saying that, you know, we all know Moses. We all know the trend of where he started in Egypt and the force that he had, the passion that he had. He wanted to rescue the Israelites. He wanted to help. He wanted to, you know, to be that channel, that platform, to like a deliverer, you know. So he started and all, and we know all that happened, the drama, and he had to leave Egypt. In chapter 3, verse 1 talks about, he says, saying that Moses was tending sheep in his father-in-law's house. And that looks like a paradox, a deliverer tending sheep. And then he had an encounter with God. And the likes. Now let's start from verse 1, chapter 4. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose now God had already given him the catalog of his purpose and God's plans for Moses." And Moses was still doubting. And Moses answered and said, "Suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you." So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, Moses was a shepherd, and shepherds use rods, they use sticks to tend the sheep, to guide them, to protect them, to punish them. So that rod in the hand of Moses, it wasn't a special rod. It was just, another version says, it was his walking stick. It was just a stick. But at the time when God needed the deliverer, Moses, to step out and to launch out, of course, Moses was afraid. Of course, Moses was, you know, wondering. He was just focused on his inadequacies. And you would think that a deliverer needs unction. He needs charisma. He needs a sword. He needs the swag of being a deliverer. But all he had was that stick. Something that he was used to doing, used to using. Let me use that phrase. Every day he will go out and come in using that stick. He will hit the shepherd on the head, or the sheep's on the, or the sheep on the head. He will guide them, lead them, direct them with that stick. If he needed to fall down, he will hold that stick. Just a normal stick. But God told him, cast that rod on the ground. And in a twinkling of an eye, that simple stick, that used stick, became a tool of power. Verse 17. Exodus 4:17. And God was saying, and you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs. So what Moses needed in that ministry of deliverance wasn't more. It wasn't more anointing in that sense. It was what he already had that he cast on the ground. In chapter 3, God told Moses, where you are is holy ground. Throw that stick on the ground. I don't know what you have. Sometimes when we are looking for, we want to be recharged, we want breakthrough, we want something new, we are always, you know, thinking of something else. Our mind is that God will give me something. Our mind is that I will get one, I will just meet one, somebody that is connected to Dangote, or somebody that's connected to Bill Gates, or what, that somehow is something that you don't have. What you need, you already have. All you need to do is to throw it at his feet. The holy ground, his presence. I don't know what you're used to. You may be thinking it's something, in fact, you are already despising it. A skill. You can cook. You've been cooking all your life. You can teach children. You can counsel. You can, there's something you have. There's a relationship in your life that in fact, it could be your spouse. Men in the house, it could be your wife. You wake up in the morning, you sleep, you see her every day. But the answer, just like Pastor Sunday was saying in the morning, when he was saying that something he heard from his wife, and I'm like, the answer is always around you. Praise the Lord. The answer is always around you. But sometimes we belittle these things. Who would have thought? Moses would never have thought that a rod with that stick that he has been using, he would part the Red Sea because God's power had rested on it. Hallelujah. Nigeria, for some people, except God tells you to leave, the answer is in this country. So don't belittle. In fact, the prayers we need to pray is, Lord, help me to see. Open, and that's what we've been praying all through. Open my eyes to recognize what you have placed within me and around me. Open my eyes to see the answer. And, you know, the truth is, sometimes we know, but we are scared. We don't have, we think we need to. Remember when the prophet came to meet 2 Kings 5? The commander of the armies, Naaman, thank you. Naaman was leprous. And you would think that, you know, he needed something complicated. They had to persuade him to go meet the prophet. And then when he went to meet the prophet, and he thought the prophet would come out and do all the gimmicks and all. And he just said, go and wash. Go and wash in River Jordan. And he said, there is River Sheraton. There is River this. I could have had a good bath, even in my home, River Jordan. And they told him, if they had told you to do something so complicated, wouldn't you have done it? And he said, go and wash. This man had been leprous for how many years? And he washed 7 times. And the Bible says when he came out, that's multiplication. Because the Bible says his skin was like that of a baby. From a leper to, in fact, you know when you say you have baby skin? Everybody wants baby skin, right? You want to look chubby. They started envying Naaman because he chose to trust that word. That word may have already come to you yesterday or in the morning, the instruction for you. And you're still thinking, no, I have to fast. They have to lay hands on me. I have to fall down. The instruction has come already. Don't belittle it. God can never be stranded when it comes to his purpose. God can never be stranded. If he could use a donkey to get someone's attention, you already have what you need. You are never stranded. There's something called the multiplier effect in economics. In fact, when I was studying it, there's something called multiplier effect even in psychology, where you invest a little and the ripple effect gives you multiplied returns. So you spend 50 naira on something. That 50 naira, you pay someone 50 naira. The person gets the 50 naira, buys something that accrues to maybe 200 naira. That is from 50 to 200. And because he has more, he then can pay more people. Do you get that? And the more people now have enough ones to do some other things, and he multiplies. That's called multiplier effect. And God is the man or the God that deals with multiplication. You give him a little. Moses casts that simple rod in obedience. And what did he get in return? A tool of power. Many of us already know and believe in that God is opening our eyes already. God will open your eyes. You will know and you will see that rod. It may not be something complicated though. Because sometimes all we are looking for in Sokoto is in our... what you are looking for abroad is already with you here. So the law of recognition, being able to see. It also happened in 2 Kings. Or let me start from 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. Let's quickly open our Bibles to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17... from verse 8. I love this scripture and I love this narration. We all know what happened to Elijah. There was a famine in the land. Are we there? 1 Kings 17, 8. Praise the Lord. Verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have what? Commanded a widow there to provide for you. Let's even stop there. When God told the prophet, I have commanded a widow, what would you think? You would think that maybe the widow was rich, right? Or you would think that God had already gone to meet the widow. Because he said commanded. Commanded is not a small word. He didn't say, I have appealed, or Elijah, you go. When you get there, the first widow you see, just tell her. He didn't say that. He said, I have commanded a widow to provide for you.
So you would think that, God, you would have already gone to meet the widow to tell her that my prophet is coming. Make sure. Is that not the command? Is that not the instruction? But that's not what happened. He says, see, I have commanded the widow there to provide for you. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. I'm sure if it was a prophet in our days, they'll be looking for the rich widow. It cannot be this widow that is gathering sticks. Right? Because God said, I have commanded the widow in the time of famine. It has to be rich. It has to show. And he called, but the prophet knew she was the one. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And she had water, so there was no qualms about that. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. That's when the widow now said, Oga, water I have, morsel I don't have. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, this is the widow that God said, I have commanded, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in, prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and what? This was not a widow that was seeing a future. In fact, what she had was about running out. Not just running out. She thought they were going to die. I don't know what, maybe there's a business you're doing. Or you have a shop that you think is not, there's nothing to show. Don't give up on that shop. Don't give up on that business. It was about run, in fact, it was running out. And Elijah said to her, verse 13, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up. That little thing, that small thing that you think is about to run out, it will not be used up. It will not be exhausted. In fact, that insignificant thing, that small thing will be the turning around, will bring the overflow. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of the prophet. And she and he and the household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. The woman put the flour in the hands of the word. God declared the word. That flour was about to run out. In her own eyes, this was something that was going to run out. In God's eyes, that flour would be the source of multiplication. There's something in your hands. Put it in the hands of God's word. Put it in the hands of I am the Lord. That is my name. Put it in the hands of, and God will cause all grace to abound to you. Put it in the hands of the word. That little thing that's about to die will not die in the name of Jesus Christ. It looked like Isaac. Isaac was the only son that Abraham, apart from Ishmael, he was a chosen son. And God said, give me that son. And Abraham could have, you know, I'm sure God, Abraham knew God. Abraham somehow, but we are human. I'm sure God, Abraham was like, okay, my son,
Someone that I had prayed for, that waited for years. But he said, Lord, I'm sure he was, you know, calculating in his head. But Abraham said, if Isaac is going to die for any reason, it's better for him to die in God's hands. Because God that gave him will bring him back to life. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that there's something, there's a situation, or there are mindsets about this year, about the preceding year, about the season. And we are always looking at the outside. We are looking at something is coming. We are looking, I need that connection. We are looking at, God, I need anointing. We are looking at, I need more, I need more, I need more. And God is saying, you have all you need. Just put it in my hand. 1 Samuel 17. Your storehouse will not be exhausted. Your source of income will not be used up. Your mental vitality, God's power will come upon it afresh in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel 17:38. We know the story. We know the story. Because of time, I may not read the entire story, but we know the story of when David met Goliath. Verse 38. Are we there? So Saul clothed David with his armor. And he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk. But he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot use this. I cannot walk with this, for I am not used. I have not tested them. For some of us, we'll be so carried away that, maybe this is how they normally fight. They always wear armor. I have to get that certification. I'm not saying these things are bad. But at that time, David needed what he was used to. He didn't get carried away with, I'm a soldier in Saul's army. Because some of us may think like I want to impress the king. And something you're not used to. You want to do it. But God's power is God's power is not in what you're not used to. But it's in what you're used to. It has worked before. God will use it. Hallelujah. So David took them off. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came. Just imagine for months or weeks, this Goliath had been coming and threatening the best of the best of the soldiers, did not face him. And he came and drew near to David. And the man who bought the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, you know, I'm sure he was like, okay, where is the person that wants to fight me? And he saw David. And he disdained him. They don't need to see you coming. Do you know why he said? He said he was only a youth, number one. He was an Ajebota. I'm sorry if you don't understand what Ajebota. He was chubby. Like our daughter would say, you're cute. He was only a youth. He was ruddy and good looking. That means he was not expecting that, who is this? Who are you to fight me? But he didn't know who was facing him. He didn't. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog, as in stick, stones, that you come to me with sticks? If Goliath should have done some history. Because if Goliath had done some history about the Israelites, he would have remembered that, some years ago, there was a man called Moses that with only one stick, he cleared Egypt. He didn't do history. Because he was like, who are you? You are looking like Pastor Lai. Pastor Lai is chubby and... You're coming with sticks and all.
And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh, blah, blah, blah. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with all your gimmicks, with all your braggado, with all everything. But I come. I don't even come. He didn't say I come to you with a stone. Because he wasn't looking at the stone. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord, our God of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. God, David cast that five, I don't know how many stones, to God's word. He put it in the hands of God's word. There's someone here, you're a parent, and your child, you are disturbed about your child. You think that your child is out of all the other children. He looks like the, or she looks like the odd one out, the misfit, the one that's always doing wrong. Don't disdain that child. Put that child into the hands of God's word. Tell him you are the seed that the Lord has blessed. Begin to declare God's word over that child. Begin to declare God's word over your body. Begin to declare God's word over your account, over your business, over your career. And that five stones, that's five smooth stones and a stick. We just won't throw. Just that word. That Goliath had died already. Because the power behind that, when he flung it, it wasn't David. It was the power on that simple, those simple tools. So don't disdain what you have. You may not have the qualifications like others. You may not be able to speak as clear as some others. But you have something. You have something. Put it in his hands. Put it in the hands of God, the Almighty, the Commander-in-Chief, the one that owns the host of heaven. As a roundup, and this is my favorite part, Mark 6. That simple skill, for some, I say it a lot. Some of us, we are looking at, if only I can get a job in that company. If only I can travel. If only I can meet that person. And what you have right now is that you can teach. You can take care of children. You can cook. You can talk to people. You can market. You can go, you can persuade people. And you're saying, if only I can just get that job in an oil company. Sister, brother, you have what it takes. I'm not saying that you shouldn't achieve. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have dreams. I'm not saying that you might not, you might even get that job. But you will know in your knowing that that is what God wants for me. You know the truth, let me even get there. Mark 6, before I read it, or let's open it. Mark 6, let's start from verse 30. Mark 6 and verse 30. Let me just read. And the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things. But what, you know, this narration, we have different versions in Luke, in John, I think also in Matthew. I will go to the one in John as well. The feeding of 5,000. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. So the apostles, the disciples, they had gone about with ministry, doing ministry. They had taught, they had healed the sick, they had great victories. Now, he says, for they were, okay, verse 31, and he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they were exhausted, they were tired, but they had victories. They had done things. And Jesus said, you know what? It's okay. Thank God for the victory. Come and rest. As they were going, so they departed, verse 32, to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing
And many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. And they arrived before them. So they were going for vacation. Maybe they were going to Abuja or whatever. And the disciples said, let's go. And they went ahead and got there before them. If you were a disciple, you would like, oh God, who are these people? Please, we want to rest. And there were more, they came. The Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude. And for some people listening, I'm still going to get into the story. There is a situation, multitude-like situation, overwhelming you. And you're thinking, God, and you've been praying. God, in fact, when Jesus had taught the disciples and the multitudes rather, it became dark, it was late, and of course Jesus knew they were hungry. The disciples that were preaching and were teaching and were casting out devils and were healing the sick, guess what they told Jesus? Send them away. This one is not a time for miracle. Because they could have said that, okay, maybe we should try. They were angry. They were exhausted. And they told Jesus, send them away. I'm sure Jesus smiled. Because sometimes we have certain overwhelming things in our lives. A debt. A project that is overwhelming. And you have been praying. You have been telling Jesus, send this thing away. Let this thing pass over me. And it's still there. That means the answer is in the multitude. God is not, the reason why it's still there is because the answer is there. And the answer was in the multitude with a little boy. Hallelujah. So, okay, verse 36 says, send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. Maybe you are my peers, you are my disciples. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And I'm saying to someone here, go and check. There's something in your life. There's something in your hand. There's something that God is, you are looking at it as a problem. God is smiling at it and looking at that very thing. You are looking at it as, this is too little. Nigeria. I can't survive in Nigeria. We all know how Nigeria is. I can't survive in this country. And God is looking. This same Nigeria, this same country, your breakthrough is here. Your blessings are here. If you look at the John narration, John 6, and he said, in fact, the disciples were like, what? They told him, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what is this among so many? They despised it. And Jesus said, that thing that you're despising, just bring it. Bring it, give it to me. And they put it in his hand. And what did he do? He gave thanks. And he said, take. In fact, John 6, Pastor Sunday, you mentioned it earlier. John 6 says that Jesus himself knew what he would do. This was a multitude, overwhelming situation. 5,000 men. You can imagine how many women were there. It looked like, where do we even start from? You're looking at yourself. You're looking at where you're coming from, your background. And you're looking at, where do I even start from? You're looking at your spouse. You're looking at your qualifications. You're looking at Nigeria. And you're saying, where do I even start from? And you're saying, this is too little. This skill is too little. This skill I have cannot give me the breakthrough that I need. This relationship I have, this spouse, this husband, this wife, this child is not, Lord, you know the dream. And he's saying, bring it, just bring it. Put it in the hands of gratitude. And that same 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he took it, he gave thanks, he gave it back to them. I'm sure they were like, and they were sharing. They were sharing.
They were sharing. This thing is not finishing. They were sharing. This thing is not finishing. They were sharing. The Bible says they were filled. When the Bible says someone is filled, you know that kind of filled that you, as the, you can't, when you have eaten and you can't even stand up. Because God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't joke with his words. They were filled. That kind of filled that you're, the next thing, in fact, that's why he told them to sit down on the floor. Because after eating, what's the next thing? You sleep. That's the kind of feeling that they had. They were filled and there was leftover. From 5 loaves and 2 fish, from a simple walking stick, from a jar of oil that was almost running out, to multiplication. The multiplier effect, the God that multiplies. So what am I saying? Put that thing. God is saying, yes, I know you have issues. Yes, in fact, for someone, it's even you. You as a person, you have made mistakes. You are wondering, can anything good come out of me? I have messed up. People are still, they still think that they can do well. Me, I don't even, God is saying, it's okay. Come. Just entrust yourself. Jump into my hands. Jump into the hands of gratitude. Thank God for your spouse. Thank God for your church, your ministry. It's not where you want to be, but God can multiply it. Put it in the hands of gratitude this evening. Let's rise up to our feet. Jesus said, Lord, I thank you. When Lazarus was dead for 4 days, he was dead stinking. If Lazarus would be stinking, he said, it's okay. So you've messed up. You're in a mess. Your business is down. In fact, you're being embarrassed. God is saying, come. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on the year. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on that little insignificant thing that you think is insignificant. Put it in my hands. Can't we just begin to thank God? Thank God. I appreciate that thing that you think nothing can come out of this. Nothing can come out of me. Thank God for it. Lord, I thank you for my life. I thank you for my business. I thank you for my body. My body is not how it used to be. Yes, I know, God, you want healing. But thank God for yourself. Thank God that you can see. Thank God that you can stand. Thank God for he is doing in your life. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Give him thanks this evening. Lord, I want my husband to be better. Lord, I don't see anything good coming from my wife. Thank God for them. Say, Lord, I thank you. Mention their names to God this evening. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. I place myself at your feet. I cast my business. I cast myself. I cast my business. I cast my family. I cast my children. I cast my son to you. I entrust me into your hands. Just like you used the rod. You took the rod and you turned it into a rod of power. Lord, come upon us this evening. Begin to thank God. Begin to thank God. Lord, we thank you. 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 I don't give up on myself. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for my life. Thank you for the experiences I've had. Thank you because I'm a Nigerian. I thank God that I'm a Nigerian. I'm grateful that I'm a Nigerian. Father, we thank you for Nigeria. Lord, we worship you. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. The only God. I will declare that you are the only God.
Declare you are the only God. The only God. The only God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
You are the only God.
in a minute, just before I step off, I want us to pray. Now, Lord, open my eyes. There's something, what I need, you are already giving me. What I need, what I'm looking outside, what I need, you already gave me. Help me to see. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. That thing that I've just, you know, taken for granted. That relationship, that mentor, that person in my life that has been in my life for years. Lord, help me to see. Help me to see. Help me to see. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Father, we give you praise.
I will declare.